And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today we're going to be part two of twisting the scriptures. Oh, my goodness, twisting the scriptures. That's pretty bad, isn't it? You know, God's given us one Bible. That's all you need, my friends, one Bible. But all these hooligans out there, that's what I call them, hooligans, they want to make money, so they printed up new Bibles. And more, and every year they come out new Bibles. And these are just train wrecks. They'll lead you astray. You know, many years ago I rededicated my life to Christ, and Juan and I went out and found what we thought was a good church, and before I started my own ministry, and you know, God had called me, but I went to this a church, and you know, to commemorate the occasion, I went to a Christian bookstore, and I said, "Wanda, let's get us a new Bible. You know, start fresh as a, because we were a lot younger back then, as young, fresh Christians. Let's get us a new Bible." So I went to the bookstore, and I couldn't believe it. There were all these Bibles there. Oh, there was the Revised Standard Version, and then the New American Standard Version, and then the New International Version, and boy, pretty soon, you know, they have first the Revised Standard Version, then they're going to have the New Revised Standard Version, then the New American Revised Standard Version. I mean, it goes on and on, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you the secret of these Bible, these so-called Bibles. You see, the King James Bible is not, it's not copyrighted. Nobody can copyright the King James Bible. I mean, you know, it's been around since 1611. Actually, the Bible itself, when it wasn't in English, it goes all the way back. But, you know, the King James Bible, it's just the Word of God. Now, to get a new Bible, you've got to change words. You see, you can't just put out the King James Bible and call it the Revised Standard Version or the New International Version or some other name. You have to change the words in it. Now, why do you have to change the words in it? Because then it wouldn't be a new Bible, and you couldn't copyright it. Now you go and get all the, go to the Christian bookstore and look at all the Bibles, and I've got about 30 here in my office. And all of them say copyrighted, and then they have the year. Copyrighted 1963. Copyrighted 1975. Copyrighted 1989. Copyrighted, you know, 2005. They all have a year in which they were copyrighted. And that's so that copyright is protected. If you start printing up NIVs, then the owner of the copyright is going to come and get you. He's going to say, "Wait just a minute. You're violating my copyright. You can't do that." Now, isn't that strange? Whose words are these? They're God's words, they claim, right? "Oh, yeah," says the owner of the NIV. "That's God's words." Well, are you copyrighting God's words? Maybe he doesn't want you to copyright his words. How can you copyright God's words? They're for anybody. Jesus said he did nothing in secret. Everything he did, he did so that people could see it and hear it. The Bible even says if you have ears to hear, then listen up. There it is. But, oh no, you can't do that. We own the copyright on that Bible. How can you own the copyright on what, on God's words? He said them. But they said, "Well, no, they're our words." Oh, they're your words. Yes, it's our words. We put those words in there. Oh, they're not God's words then. Well, We put whatever we thought God wanted to say. Yeah, you sure you did. And then you got problems with the people who worked on these committees. Now, you may think they're great Christian people. Maybe they had these wonderful Bible word committees, and they chose new words for the new Bibles. Yeah, yeah, sure. You know, I found out that one of the Bibles was written by a woman named Dr. Virginia Mollenkott. And I wondered, who is Virginia Mollenkott? I tried to do a little research on her. And she wrote for the NIV Bible. She was what they call a word stylist. Yes, she chose words for the Bible. Did she ask God's permission? Did she say, God, can I use your words? Because I want to copyright it. No, she didn't. Now, Virginia Mollenkott, I found out, is a lesbian. And Virginia Mollenkott doesn't believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And she believes in all kinds of weird stuff. But she was the NIV word stylist. Oh, yes. Then I found out about another man who was, well, he was the head of the committee that put together another version of the Bible, a very popular version, and I found out he was a homosexual. There are all kinds of people that the publishers go out and find and get them and pay them to write the words for the new versions. And they're all full of baloney, my friends. Listen, please. I want you to have God's word. You know, Proverbs 30, verse 5 says this, every word of God is pure. Think about that, friends. Every word of God is pure. Now, Virginia Mollenkott probably says, oh, well, I made a few mistakes. I bet she made a lot of mistakes. You see, she put the words she wanted. Now, I was talking with this woman one time, and she worked on one of the versions. And I said, this version doesn't sound right here. It's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's not right. You know about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't have to tell it to you, friends. She says God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because the men there were not hospitable. They weren't very friendly. They weren't very kind. No, they didn't. God destroyed that city because they were a bunch of raging queers and homosexuals. Come on. They saw those handsome men, those angels. They weren't really men, but they thought they were. And they all went to Lot's house and said, give us those men. We want to have them. In other words, we want to have sex with them. But that was too much for those angels. They said, Lot, get your family and leave this place. It's going to be destroyed. And I was told by one of the translators for the Bible that, well, we didn't want to put that in there. We didn't want to put that they were homosexuals. We just put they were not hospitable. Then I understand another translator wrote the Bible. And you know the story of the men in the tombs, or the man, I should say, where Jesus came, and this man was there, and he had broken his chains, and he was like a wild man. He was insane. And God ordered him, said, reveal your name to me, because he knew he was full of devils. And the man, the voice came out and said, my name is Legion, for we are many. There are many devils in that man. Well, you read along in this version, you find out that man had, this version had that the man was epileptic. That's why he was insane and broke his chains, and he just had epilepsy. I said, where did that come in the Bible at? Well, we don't really believe in demons. So we had to rewrite it and give the man a disease. We thought the closest thing would come to it would be epilepsy. Friends, every word of God is pure. They changed the word of the Bible there. I mean, you're taking a big chance. You know, God doesn't like you to change his word. In fact, he says in Psalm 138, verse 2, listen to this now, the King James Bible says, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." The word of God is greater than his name. He's magnified it. That's how important the word of God is to God. Well, let's talk a little bit about the word of God more today. We're going to give you some other verses that, they've been messed around with by these new modern translators. That's why I go for the King James Bible, friends. But it's got the these and the thous in that, the thines. I want something more modern and updated. Friends, what you're going to find out is there are entire verses missing in the new chapters. Look for the last chapter of Mark. It's missing from the new versions. The whole chapter. Let's look at Revelation 14, verse 20, for example. You know, they say that, well, we made it easier. We use modern language so that people can understand the words better. Well, let's see if they can. The King James says, Revelation 14, verse 20, it says, "And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs." Wow. So much blood was shed there that the blood came all the way up to the horse's bridle. For the space of 1,600 furlongs. Well, you can look up in the dictionary and find out how long a furlong is. But listen to the New American Standard Version. Now, where the King James says by this blood was a huge expanse of blood, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. You know that's a lot of blood. It's around, 200 miles or so of blood. 200 miles of blood up to the horse's bridle. But the New American Standard Version says, "For a distance of 1,600 stadia." Huh? Now, I did a little research on that. Now, that turns into about 180 miles. Or maybe, think about that. 180 miles. But they don't give it to you in miles. You see, somebody else has already chosen that word. Somebody's copyrighted the word miles. In fact, the NIV has "for a distance of 200 miles. So they don't want to use the same word again. They can't use the same word. They got to go out and find a different word. So the King James calls it furlongs. The NIV calls it miles. And the New American Standard Version calls it stadia. 1,600 stadia. Oh, yeah. Who knows what stadia means? You see, they made the Bible more difficult, haven't they? Now, here's Revelation 17, verses 9 and 10. It says, the King James says, "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth." Okay. Think about that, my friends. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. But the NIV, the New International Version, says the seven heads are seven hills. Whoa. A hill is different than a mountain, isn't it? King James Version says the seven heads are seven mountains. But the NIV says the seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. Which is it, friend? Is it a mountain or a hill? Well, there's the difference in the King James and this other version. Now, The King James Version in Revelation 17, verse 13 says, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." Think about it. These have one mind. But the NIV says, they have one purpose. They have one purpose. The New American Standard says, these have one purpose. So my friends, they're all of one mind, or they have a purpose. Which would you like? You see how they changed the Bible there? It seems to me it's a lot easier to read, these have one mind. They think alike. They have one mind. But these other versions say one purpose. They butcher the Bible. That's just the way it goes. Let's go to Revelation 18, verse 13. The King James Bible speaks of, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and the souls of men. And the NIV decided to change that. It reads, and sheep, horses, and carriages, and bodies, and souls of men. Okay, sheep stays the same. Horses stays the same. But suddenly, it's not chariots, it's carriages. My friends, a chariot is quite a bit different than a carriage. Wouldn't you say so? The King James says, and slaves. But the NIV says, and bodies. Now, listen. You know when it says slaves, it means slaves. But and bodies? What does that mean? Is that the body of a movie star, or a body of a skinny person, a fat person, a ugly person, a beautiful person? What is a... and bodies? How does that compare with and slaves? Quite a bit different, don't you think? But the New American Standard says, and sheep, and cargoes of horses. Cargoes of horses. And chariots, and slaves, and human lives. Now the King James Bible and the NIV says, and souls of men. But the New American Standard says, and human lives. My friends, the souls of men, that's a lot different than just human lives. In fact, that has no... What does that have to do with anything? This is totally different, isn't it? So if you've got this Bible, don't expect to understand it. Just amazing, isn't it? King James Bible, Revelation 21, verse 6 says, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely. But the NIV says, to him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost. Oh boy. From the spring of the water of life. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost. Now, friends, Jesus cost. He shed his blood for you. You know, what are they trying to say here? Salvation comes without cost? Jesus suffered greatly for it. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But the NIV says, well, whoever's thirsty, I will give to drink without cost. That's without money. That's what that means. And the New American Standard Version says, I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. Wow. It says in the King James Bible, of the water of life freely. That means a lot different thing than without cost. Well, goodness gracious. Finally, Revelation 13, verse 1. The King James says, "And I stood up on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Well, the NIV says, "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea." "And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name." Now think about it. The King James says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea." But the NIV says, "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea." So who is standing up on the shore of the sea? The Apostle John says in the King James, "I stood upon the sand of the sea. I was there. And I saw this beast rise up out of the sea." But the NIV says it was the dragon. He was the one standing on the shore of the sea. The New American Standard says, "And he," that's the dragon, "stood on the sand of the seashore." A little bit confused there, isn't it? Who was it? Well, now Revelation 13, we're still in the 13th chapter of Revelation, verses 9 through 10. It says, "If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." But the NIV says, "If anyone is to go into captivity, he will go. If anyone is to be killed with a sword, he will be killed." This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Wow. Now, this is different. The King James says, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity." But the NIV says, "If anyone is to go into," maybe nobody's going to go. That changes everything. "If anyone is to go into captivity." But the King James says, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity." But the NIV says, "If anyone is to go." There's changed quite a bit, isn't it? Here is the patience and the faith of the saints, the King James says. But the NIV takes out the patience and the faith and calls it the endurance, patient endurance and faithfulness. Now, the New American Standard Version says, "If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes." If anyone is destined for captivity? But King James says, "He that leadeth into captivity." But here it says, "If anyone is destined." Well, again, quite a difference. Now, Revelation 13, we go on and it says, "Here is wisdom," and this is very important. "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That translates to 666. So here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. But the NIV is, now listen to this, I want you to get the difference here. This calls for wisdom. Now the King James says, "Here is wisdom." It's plain out. It's flat wisdom. That's wisdom. But the NIV says, "This calls for wisdom." The NIV says, "If anyone has insight," But King James said, let him that hath understanding. I think understanding is much greater than insight. Understanding means you see all the aspects of it. You see the downfalls and the upbraiding. You see everything there. The NIV says, if anyone has insight, calculate the number of the beast. Calculate. But the King James says, count the number of the beast. Now some would say, well, calculate means the same. Really? I'm not sure. The NIV goes on to say, for it is man's number. Isn't that different than it is the number of a man? Think now, the King James is saying, it is the number of a man. But the NIV says, for it is man's number. Now, I've had many people that explain the NIV this way, that the number 666 is man's number. That's all men's number. Every man in the universe has the number 666. That's just man's number. But the King James makes it very clear. It is the number of a man. A man, and his number is 666. But the NIV says, for it is man's number. Wow. Now the New American Standard Version says, here is wisdom. That's okay so far. Let him who has understanding, same as the King James, calculate the number of the beast. Now, that's different than count the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Okay? That's close to the King James. And that's different than the NIV. Now, Revelation 13, verse 17 is quite interesting. The King James says, and that no one might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And the NIV, though, changes it. It says, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. So the mark in the NIV, the mark is the name of the beast or the number of his name. But in the King James, the mark can be separate. It says, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You can have one of three things. You can have that evil mark, the mark of the beast. Or you could take upon yourself the name of the beast. Or you could take upon yourself the number of the beast. Three ways to kill yourself, you might say. But the NIV says the mark is the name of the beast. Or the number of his name. Really? That's the mark? There's no separate mark? It looks like the NIV is that the mark is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, the New American Standard Version says, and he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. The mark is seen there as the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's not a separate entity. The King James is the only one of these three that has it as a separate entity. The mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You can see, you miss it by a wide mark, so to speak. Totally different. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. Again, this is Tex Mars, and I have a copy of Dr. Gail Ripplinger's excellent book, The Language of the King James Bible, Understanding the Many Pitfalls of the New Versions. But here's the title of this book, the language of the King James Bible. There's a special language to the King James Bible, and there's a built-in dictionary. A lot of people don't know that, but some of the words are difficult in the Bible. But the King James is the only version that has a built-in dictionary. You know, Revelation 13 says, you know, here is wisdom. Let him who hath understanding count the number of the beast. Well, what is wisdom? Well, the Bible's going to tell you. Because right away it says, let him who hath understanding. A person who is wise has understanding. You see how it's got a built-in dictionary? It immediately gives you the definition. You don't have to go out and get other dictionaries and Strong's Concordance. But the other versions of the Bible say, oh, we can get rid of that. We can get rid of that second sentence and just make it more simple. And what they do is they delete the dictionary that's contained within the King James Bible. And then there's words too. You know, words are powerful media. Here, listen to some of this. God's word in the King James Bible, righteousness. Oh yes, when you hear the word righteousness, you know what it means, don't you? But then the new versions use the politically correct terms like morality. Morality? The King's James Bible uses words like holiness. Holiness. That's an important word, holiness. But then the politically correct term in the new versions is character. He's got character. Oh, there's a big difference between a person who exhibits or has holiness and a person who has character. You can have character and it has nothing to do with holiness. Then there's godliness. That's in the King James Bible. You'll come across the word godliness. You know what it means? A man, you can see a man or a woman has godliness. What does it translate to in the new versions? Well, they're looking for new words, so they put in values. They have strong values, it says. That's different than a person being a godly person. To have strong values is not godliness. That's something much less. Now, how about the word fornication in the King James Version? You know, a lot of people say, now that's an old word. That's pretty harsh. That, boy, when I hear fornication, ooh, that's tough. Well, the politically correct term in the new versions is immorality. You can be an immoral person and still not be guilty of fornication. It's totally different there. So this is how the Bible is so different in the King James Bible. But the language, and I can go on and on about why the language is superior. I hope you'll get this book. And it'll make, you know, as you read this and as you read the Bible, it'll make the Bible's words stand out to you. They'll suddenly say, wow, you know, here I am. Read me and understand me. And you really will become a wise person because you will understand. And the Bible will no longer just have these words that don't mean anything. No, they'll mean everything to you. They'll stand out. And you'll love the words of the King James Bible. So get this book, The Language of the King James Bible. It's just $20 and $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. Ask for the book, The Language of the King James Bible, by Dr. Gail Riplinger, R-I-P-L-I-N-G-E-R. But we'll know when you say The Language of the King James Bible. For $25, I'd keep this book your whole life. Have it in your library. Have it in your office. Have it next to your bed. Have it on your coffee table. And as you read the Bible, maybe pick this book up and look at some of the words in it. And you'll see how they stand out, how they mean so much more to you. All right? Now, to get this book, just go to our website, of course, powerofprophecy.com. and order the book using your PayPal, your charge card, or you can phone us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673, or you can write us and send us $25, a check or a money order or cash at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. And say, Tex, send me that book, The Language of the King James Bible, and we'll get it right out to you. All right, let's return now to our regular program. We're talking about the twisting of scriptures and the assault on Bible prophecy as found, regrettably, in the new Bible versions. You know, there's just so much missing from these new versions of the Bible. I really worry about Christians who depend on them to study the Word of God. You know, Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19 says this, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." My friends, that's in Revelation 22. Think about it. If you add one word, if you add to these things, God will give you the plagues that are written in the book of Revelation. And if you take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, that's the book of Revelation, God will take your part out of the book of life. That's a great penalty to pay, isn't it? That's because God considers every one of his words sacred. They are pure, he says. He doesn't want them changed. God is everlasting. You know, I get into debates sometimes with people who don't believe the way I do about the Constitution of the United States. And these people say, well, you know, conditions change. Technology changes. We're a different nation than we used to be. So the present judges on the U.S. Supreme Court have to change things. They say, my friends, we have a living Constitution. It's a living document. It can change. You know, our founding fathers say nothing in there about abortion. Why? It was against the law to commit abortion. But now they say an abortion is perfectly okay. It's constitutional. Well, find for me in the Constitution where it says it's all right to have an abortion. It's not there. The Supreme Court of this land made it all up. They made it up. There's nothing in there that gives you the right to have an abortion. Nothing. They knew, our founding fathers knew that an abortion was wrong. It violates God's law. It's murder. You know, famous pastor down in Florida said, "I believe abortion's okay. I've never heard a preacher," he said, "say that an abortion is murder." Really? Well, I heard quite a few. And that's what I believe. I believe that abortion is murder. The murder of a little child. And what about homosexual marriages? Can you imagine George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or John Adams, one of the great founding fathers, saying, well, that's in our Constitution, homosexual marriages. No, no, no. That's not in our Constitution. That's a fabrication of the U.S. Supreme Court. They have updated the Constitution. Now, folks, that's what these pastors do with our Bible. They say we're just updating it. No, they're fabricating it. They're creating words. They're adding to it. They're taking away from it. And that's why God put this penalty in Revelation 22. He says, if any man add unto these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. Friends, you can't change the Bible. The Bible will be here forever and ever. It's forewritten by God. And God wanted these things in his Bible, evidently, from the very beginning. You know, he also knew you from the beginning. Did you know that? That's what it says in the Bible. That God knew us before we were ever born. How can that be? Well, it is. It's true. God knew everything about you before you were ever born. He knew what your genes were going to be like. He knew what color hair you would have. He knew the day you were going to die, the day that you were born. Isn't that an amazing thing? Let me repeat that. God knew the day that you would die, actually, before you were ever born. So, now, there are other things in this, these new versions that I want to warn you about. You know, in addition to Gail Ripplinger's book, The Language of the King James Bible, and we're asking $25 for that. It includes postage, shipping, handling, and so forth. We have another great book by her called New Age Bible Versions. And Jerry, this must be, oh, I forget what the price of this is. It's $20, okay, plus five shipping. So that's a total of $25. It's a big book. In fact, it's, oh my goodness, 690 pages long. And there's so much in it that is important. You know, she shows in the book, The New Age Bible Versions, what the new translators left out. They just took these things out. For example, the NIV, 1 Peter 2:6, mentions a stone. But in the King James Version, it mentions a chief cornerstone. Friends, a chief cornerstone is different than just a simple stone. And listen to this. In the NIV and NASB, in verse after verse after verse, they use the word teaching. But in the King James Bible, that same word is translated as doctrine. You know, doctrine is much more vital. It's much more, I mean, it's just down home. You tell me a person's what they teach, and I go, okay, no big deal. But if you tell me what their doctrine is, now that's powerful. That's what they're really living, you see. That means something. But over and over again, in fact, on pages 326 and 327 of her book, there is verse after verse after verse after verse that's different. That the NIV, the NASB, and the others are all teaching. So what they want to do is eliminate the word doctrine. And the translators of the new version say, oh, people don't like doctrine anymore. You know, it's so confusing, doctrine. I had a pastor friend of mine, he said, I don't teach people doctrine. They don't understand what that means. They don't? But Jesus said something interesting. Jesus says something very fantastic, very, very powerful. He said, if you know the Father in heaven, you will know my doctrine. Jesus had a specific doctrine, and his teaching was only part of it. Doctrine is something very, it's just powerful. And that's why the new versions want to eliminate doctrine entirely. They want to make verses of the Bible just wishy-washy. Yeah, it's just teaching. But when it's doctrine, oh yes, my friends, that means something, doesn't it? And, you know, For example, Galatians 4, verse 7 talks about an heir through God. An heir through God. But in the King James Bible, it reads, an heir of God through Christ. Oh, an heir of God through Christ. But in the NIV and the NASB and the others, it's an heir through God. You leave out Christ. In Ephesians 3, verse 9, think of this, in the NIV and the NASB. It speaks of God who created all things. But wait, the King James Version reads, God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Oh, you've taken Christ out there. You've got to know the Creator is God, but He created all things by Jesus Christ. You see how important the King James Bible is? Oh, my. In John 3:17, it reads, the Son of God. Okay. But in the King James Version, it reads, His Son. His Son. Now, over and over, we find these things. And you know, 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 and 23 is a very powerful verse. It reads this way. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Isn't that an amazing thing? If you don't have the Father, you don't have the Son. But if you have the Son, you will have the Father. And this is why they keep taking out the Son over and over. Now let's see some more here that are just powerful. Hey, here's one entirely taken out. The King James Version in Acts 8:37 says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Wow. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, what does it read in the NIV and the NASB? Nothing. That whole sentence is deleted. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's deleted. Then in Acts 3, verse 13, in the newer versions, it reads servant. But in the King James Bible, it reads son, as in Son of God. Isn't the Son of God a lot more powerful than servant of God? Oh my, I'll tell you, it's just, here's one for you. Isaiah 7, verse 14. In the King James Bible, it says, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall conceive. That's what made it a miracle, you see, that Mary was a virgin, but she conceived. But what does it say in the version, Good News for Modern Man? A lot of people buy that. They like that version. Good News for Modern Man. Yeah, I like that Bible. It reads, a young woman shall conceive. Oh, it takes away the virgin birth there. A virgin shall conceive, says the King James. But the newer versions say, a young woman. A young woman. Wow. It's, boy, oh my. Over and over again, I'm just looking at these versions of the Bible, and I go back and forth to the King James Bible. It's so much that, let's see. Oh, the new versions in John 1 verse 18 says of God, he has explained him. But the King James says, he hath declared him. My friends, it's different when you declare something. That's far different than explaining it. How about this one? In the TEV version, it says, before the world was created, the Word already existed. Let me go back to that again. This is in the TEV version. Before the world was created, the Word already existed. But the King James Version has it this way. In the beginning was the Word. There it is. In the beginning was the Word. Oh, this is powerful, my friends. Over and over again. You know, it's just, wow. You know, I'm just finding these just flipping pages and seeing the difference and how important it is. Here's one. New versions. Luke 4, verse 4. Man shall not live on bread alone. But the King James says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Hey, they left that off. But by every word of God. That's left off of the new versions. Wow. That's pretty important. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. That's very important. But over here in the new version, men shall not live on bread alone. Yeah, I guess he can have a glass of milk every once in a while. Or a cookie. I don't know what they're saying here. It's just incomplete. Incomplete. Here goes in the new version. Now, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. You see, in the last two hours, I've talked all about Bible prophecy. But it goes way beyond Bible prophecy. There's much more here. The new versions say, be diligent to present yourself. What do you mean? Be diligent to present thyself. But the King James Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Be diligent to present yourself. Or would you prefer, study to show thyself approved? That means really study, my friends. To show thyself approved. Here's one. John 21, verse 17. The new versions say, tend my sheep. But the King James Bible says, feed my sheep. You can tend them all day, but you don't feed them the word of God. This is terrible. Here's one of the new versions. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Listen to what they say. The word of God is active. The word of God is active. But what does the King James Bible say? The word of God is powerful. Do you want an active Bible or do you want a powerful Bible? Well, I prefer the powerful, of course. Here's one. The new versions say, purity of devotion to Christ. But the King James says, the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, purity of devotion is far different than the simplicity. What the King James is telling you there, that the gospel is simple. But they say purity of devotion. Oh, my. They've lost the whole point there. Oh, my. And here's one. I don't know if you'll understand this, but I do big time. The new versions say, if your eye is clear. But the King James says, if thine eye be single. You see, because the King James is talking about don't be double-minded. But they'd lose all of that in the new versions entirely. Here's one. Have you ever heard this verse in the King James Bible, Romans 11, 6? But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Your salvation, my friends, is of grace. But that whole thing is just omitted. It's not even found. Now here's one. I wonder if the homosexuals took this out. The NIV, the NASB, and all of the others. The King James says, verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That's Mark 6:11. That's left out. That's left out entirely of the new Bibles. John 3, verse 36. King James Bible uses the word believeth. That's important, isn't it? Believeth in him. But the new versions say obey. Friends, there's a world of difference between the word believeth in him and obey him. You know, there are a lot of kings of tyrants right on this earth who say obey, but to believe in them, now that's different. You know, there's, oh my, there's so much more. And you know, sometimes you can leave off a little bitty word and it means all the difference in the world. Listen to this. The King James Bible uses words like the gospel, the words, the God, the Son, the Savior, the world. But the new versions for gospel, for the gospel, they say a gospel. Oh. For the words, they say a message. For the God, they say a God. For the Son, they say a Son. For the Savior, they say a Savior. And for the world, they say an age. I saw this right away, you know, in Matthew where it says that the disciples came to Jesus and says, Lord, tell me what will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. But the new version says, tell us what will be the sign of your coming again and of the end of the age. Now friends, end of the world is far different than the age. There, right there is a prophecy. They're asking Jesus, tell us about the end of the world. But in the new versions, tell us about the end of the age. That butchers the Bible, you see. Well, here's one. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Speaks of, in the King James Bible, the glorious gospel. But in the new version, it just says gospel. I think the glorious gospel is the right way, don't you, my friends? Absolutely. Now, the new versions call it the good news. But the King James Bible calls it the gospel. I'm going to give you the good news, my friend. That's far different than saying, I'm going to give you the gospel. You know, my friends, I could go all day long showing you the faults, the flaws, the travesties of the New Age Bible versions. I'd like to tell you that it doesn't matter what Bible you get. Just get a Bible. That's important. But it does matter. Why not get the King James Bible? Doesn't cost any more. Probably costs less because it's not copyrighted. Anybody can print it. You can go, if you've got the money, print 1,000 of them. Give them out to your friends. But you can't go print 1,000 of another Bible. The copywriter will say, you've stolen our copyright. Stick with God's word, my friend. His word is pure. That's what it says in the Bible, and he means it. He means it. This is Tex Mars. We've been talking about the gospel and the Bible, the words of God. They are pure, and in the King James Bible, they're complete. And my prayer is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.